And welcome, welcome indeed to, yes, a Monday edition of the Mosey Show right here on 107.9 FM, the newly improved 1560 AM, that's correct, and anywhere you listen online or podcast. Yes, my name is Mark Moses. I was off last week doing another one of my European vacations, and I had a lot of fun. I really did. Now, do I sound like I haven't slept in a couple days? Yeah, that's exactly what it's going to sound like for the rest of today. I have horrible jet lag. I think I have a cold. Hopefully I don't get the flu. But honestly, it was worth it. It really was, and I'd do it again. So, it's now time for another edition of What the Hell Was Mark Moses Doing Running Around Over the Last 7 or 8 Days. So let's do it, and we'll do it together. Now, let's go back. Let's go back to Friday, December 8th, 2023. Should we do one of those Wayne's World things? I think we should. I didn't do the show that afternoon because on December 8th, it was Jim Morrison's 80th birthday. And as we know, Jim Morrison, lead singer of The Doors, was born right here in Melbourne, Florida. So we did this event. Here's what happened to me in the span of about 24 hours. So I got up. I came to work. We then did a special broadcast at Hurricane Creek Saloon in downtown Melbourne. And I want to thank Randy and his great staff for helping us out that day. We were there. And I know Rock of Ages with Mark. He is awesome. You got to check out his store there in Vero Beach. So those were our two sponsors for 95.9 The Rocket. We were there. We had a lot of people show up. They won cool prizes like Jim Morrison posters, and they were having lunch and getting drinks, and I gave away tickets for Welcome to Rockville. It was really cool. And everyone went down the street, downtown Melbourne, and took their photo in front of Jim Morrison's house. It's really cool. And if you've never done that before, just Google it. Go down there, take your photo. It's really awesome. So that went from 11 to 1. I say that because at about 12:55, I told my coworkers, Diane and Will, I got to get out of here. So I literally got back in the Rocket truck, drove to the office, and I saw one of the coolest things possible. In our parking lot for Jams for Jingle Jet, we had the Space Ghost Mustang and Corvette clubs in our parking lot, and they brought all these different beautiful vehicles. And our parking lot was packed, and it was a really cool event on Friday. I hope you got a chance to go to it. If you didn't, don't worry. We'll put on more great events moving forward. I literally did this. I put down my equipment, said hello, I swear, to MJ for like 30 seconds, and then I got back in the car. So I woke up in my bed, came to the office, went to Hurricane Creek Saloon. We did that great event. I came here, dropped off my stuff, got in my car, drove all the way straight to the Orlando airport. Usually takes about 50 minutes or so. Let's just say I got there faster. And it was one of those things, honk, honk, get the hell out of my way. I got to get on this flight, which was leaving at 4 o'clock. I get to the airport. And usually at the Orlando airport, there's constant problems with trying to find parking. I somehow found parking. I then got to my flight. I had to go to New York City. I fly to New York City. I seriously get to New York, get off the plane. I'm in New York City for about 30 minutes as I'm trying to connect flights. Get to the next gate, get on the flight, 5-hour flight to London. I sleep maybe, and I'm having this problem. I'm turning into my father. I never can do the overnight flight where I need to take NyQuil. I don't know. I'm so excited. I'm so jacked up. I'm not really sleeping. I slept for about an hour. Then, as you know, it's a 5-hour change with the timing in the future. So I get there. It's about, I don't know, 8 a.m., 9 a.m. Take the train, go into the city. You take the Elizabeth line, but then you can also take the Piccadilly line. I know, I'm a local now. So I get there. It 80 degrees in Melbourne. 80 degrees at the Jim Morrison event in downtown Melbourne. 80 degrees. I get to London, I've slept maybe an hour. Get off the plane, it's about 35 degrees. It's raining sideways with the wind, and I'm like, what have I gotten myself into? get to the hotel, and this is what the problem is. Usually can't, you know, check into a hotel till about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, they're like, I'm sorry, bro. You can't check in till 3 o'clock. So I had 5 hours to kill on 1 hour of sleep. Said, well, time to man up, Mr. Moses. And I literally got on the train. I saw Big Ben. I saw Parliament. I went over to Chelsea FC, which is at, what is it? You know, like the Fulham stop. And I went over there. And then I went to some different stores. And literally, I don't know how I stay awake for those couple hours, but I did it. It was freezing. I had a big winter coat on. Big scarf, big, I mean, it's just so crazy to think about. We live here in Florida. It's great here. And, you know, everyone just trashes Florida until we hit December and January. Then everyone loves Florida. So I do it. I go to all these different places. I'm just trying to stay up. Horrible jet lag. But I finally get into my place. And I swear this hotel, it's in the Paddington area, was built in 1825. That's what it felt like. There was barely any heat. The water was barely working, but I was like, whatever. I'm just here to go to bed, right? That was literally the game plan. But it was cool at night. It was so freezing. It was about 30 degrees Fahrenheit, by the way. Here's what I do. I get on the train, and I go over to Abbey Road. And if you know anything about rock and roll music, Abbey Road Studios is the famous audio recording studio where the Beatles made Abbey Road the album. And there's all these different artists, like any artist you can think of with rock music has seriously recorded that studio. And yes, the Abbey Road album cover is where they're walking across the street and Paul McCartney doesn't have his shoes on. So I'm there at night. It must be 9 o'clock at night. I go there. No one's there. It's freezing outside. And usually at the front kind of wall, people write different, you know, signatures, their names on there and little notes to themselves or for their family and friends. So no one's there. The security guard, Nico, is working there and he sees me and he's like, hey, how can I help you? I was like, hey, do you have a pen or something? I just want to write something down. He goes, hold on. Comes back with a black Sharpie. So I literally start writing, you know, Mark Moses was here and I wrote, and I've done in years past, I've written, you know, my family and friends. This time I said, I'm going to write all my coworkers. So I wrote all my coworkers' names there. I put our radio stations there. And then Nico goes, hey, how about you take a photo at the front door? Okay. So I took a photo. He's like, hey, walk in. What? So I do this video and I'll post it where I get to walk into Abbey Road, you know, and just as a rock fan, that was pretty awesome. So I did that and thank you, Nico. Then I get on the train, I stop at Sherlock Holmes' house, 221B, even though I know it's not real, but it was just awesome to go there, and I take my photo there, and then I'm going to pass out, and then I go back. The hotel I'm staying at, again, built probably in the 1800s, that's what it feels like. The heat's not working, and I'm like in the basement, kind of. So I was so tired, I fell asleep the first night in London with all my clothes on. I'm not kidding around. I tried to try to get under the covers, but it's just so damn cold. Yeah, but I made it work. So I got up, got the next day. I had to go to, this is day two now. I had to go to the train station and it's King Cross. And if you know anything about Harry Potter, that's the train station that he goes to go to Hogwarts where it's 9 3/4. That's the train station. And since I've been in Florida so long with Universal Studios, my brain thinks, nah, he doesn't live here in London. Now, Harry Potter lives in Orlando, Florida. That's what my brain thinks after a while. No, Harry Potter, who, yes, is not real, but Harry Potter is supposed to be from London. Nah, bro, that guy lives in Orlando, Florida. I've been to his place. It's so stupid after a while. So I get on the train, and I take the train northwest 2 hours to Liverpool. And it was one of those things where you see the countryside and you got to think, when's the last time you actually been on a train? And it was one of those moments where I just want to relax. I'm putting my headphones on. I'm listening to music and I'm looking out the window. I know I sound like a 75-year-old grandma when I make that comment, but just see with the life I live, where it's just go, go, go. It was just nice once in a while to just chill out, relax, and listen to some music. And you know what I did also? I listened to all the music that was big when I was in college. I don't know why. It made me reminisce. It made me look back. And I was just listening to all these bands I would listen to when I went to, you know, college in Western Illinois. So I'm listening to, you know, Joy Division, Interpol, the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. I'm just going all over the place with the rock music. So then I get to Liverpool. And the reason I'm going to Liverpool is I want to see where the Beatles are from. And look, I'm not that big of a Beatles fan. It's before my time. They broke up, I don't know, 2 decades before I was born, if you really think about it. And I go there. Here's what I did. I got this all online months ago. So my hotel was downtown Liverpool. And Liverpool's bigger than you think, by the way. It's a major city. I'm staying at the Hard Day's Night Hotel. It was amazing. 4-star. It was only like $100 a night because it's in the middle of December. No one wants to go then. It's freezing outside. And that's going to be a recurring theme of this open here where it's completely super cold. But that area downtown is there's the hotel. And then you walk around the corner and that is where it's okay. I wrote down everything. Yeah. The Caravan Club. That's where the Beatles performed 200 times right before they got big. They worked on their craft in this bar. The Rolling Stones performed there. The Who, every rock band you can think of, performed at this place. And it was cool where you like literally had to go down flights of stairs. Like you're really underground. And the acoustics in there were incredible. And there was a cover band playing. And let me tell you something. I know I live here in Florida with all the retirees and the baby boomers. Oh, man. There were so many baby boomers getting wasted at this place. It was wild what was going on. But I had so much fun going there. And what you do is it costs $20. I got on this bus tour where you get on. There's a guy who gives you the tour. He's talking the whole time. And you go around the city. And it was literally one of those things where, okay, we get off the bus, you get to take your photo, you get back on the bus, and then you keep going around. His accent, he's from Liverpool. He sounded just like Paul McCartney. And I start thinking, wait a minute here. So Paul McCartney's really, in theory, he's not that unique because everyone talks like him. That's what was fascinating to me. But he like, the guy was great because he's like, all right, you see that over there? That's where John Lennon grew up. That's his house. He lived with his aunt. That's his house. Then we go over there. Hey, you see that? That's where Paul McCartney grew up. That's his house. All right, you see that neighborhood? That's where Ringo Starr grew up. Yeah, right there. Right? And then we stopped at Penny Lane. You take your photo. It's right by the University of Liverpool. You take your photo there. Then he goes, yeah, well, a fun fact, all the lyrics to Penny Lane all those things he's talking about, they're not on Penny Lane. It was something like Smith Street, but it sounds better calling it Penny Lane. Like these are actual comments that he's saying. But you see the barber shop, you see all these places, you see them all. Oh, that was crazy, dude. And you saw Strawberry Field. I love that song. And you see that in the orphanage where it was, and you can't look. This was $20. And the way they talk about the Beatles, you think they were from like the 1700s and they're not alive? No, two of them are still alive. My parents and family members saw Paul McCartney in Orlando. What was that? May of 2022. He's still alive. But like, don't kid yourself. That city is built on the Beatles are from there. There's other great points of that city, great things to do. No, it's based on the Beatles. So that was like amazing. That bus tour was incredible. And they're playing the music and seeing the different neighborhoods. And again, when he points, he's like, that's where John Lennon grew up. It's just bizarre to think about. That was great. And went to the Caravan Club and then I loved the shopping as well. And that's the thing. Okay. What's weird about our country is online shopping is killing our shopping malls and our big box stores. And people don't want to shop in stores after a while. And it's kind of sad Because when you go to these European major cities, all the department stores are still around. All the shopping malls are packed. And I get it was Christmas time, but no, you don't understand. It's not like the Vero Beach Mall, which is completely dead. Or you see the Merritt Island Mall. Like, no. All the department stores are packed. They are open and people are walking around. Amazon and online shopping did not destroy malls overseas. It's weird. It's like a Twilight Zone episode. It's like you went 10 years into the past. So I did that, walking around. And then the next morning, I got on the bus and I took it north and I went to the Liverpool FC stadium tour. And this is my thing now. I like to tour different soccer stadiums. I just find it fascinating. And look, I don't like Liverpool, but I respect them as a club. That is one of the coolest stadiums I've ever seen. Going there to Anfield, it was amazing to see that soccer stadium. And the best part, I told this joke to some people, I'm going to tell you right now. We're on the tour, and when you get to the top, the upper deck, we look out the window, and you see Everton Stadium. And it's literally less than a mile away from there. And that's Everton and Liverpool. And the guy, he sets us up for the joke. He goes, all right, there's Everton, and they're building their new stadium right there on the water. How far is Everton from Liverpool? And one guy yells out, I don't know, a kilometer. Another guy yells out, half a mile. And he goes, they're light years behind Liverpool. They're that far from being Liverpool. Fantastic. I go, bravo, sir. That's a great joke. I love it. That was so much fun. And this is what's so funny about every soccer team is they all have 10,000 trophies because there's like 50 different tournaments that you can go to and win. So every soccer tour I've been on, this is when we won the European Cup. This is when we won the Champions League. Here's when we won the Premier League. It was really cool. It really was. And taking that tour, yeah, I would do it again. It was really awesome. I was going to go to Everton, and I was like, no, I can't be in this cold after a while. Took the bus back, did some more shopping, just chilled out, went to some different bars, and then went to bed. Then, the next day, I don't even know what day it is after a while. As if you're just tuning in, yes, recapping the European vacation. You can tell my nose is a little stuffed. I have horrible jet lag, but I'm going to get through this. The people want it. I'm going to keep talking. Next morning, and I knew this was going to happen, I had to get to the airport for a flight, which was at like about, I don't know, 9 a.m. So I'm like, well, I better go to bed early. Got to get up, got to take the bus to the airport. It takes 40 minutes to get to the airport. So you know what happened. This happens every single time. I'm going to go to bed early. Can't go to sleep. I go to sleep at 1 o'clock in the morning. I get up at 5 a.m. You had to walk the city streets. It's in the city center, so it was kind of nice. You had to walk. You got on the bus. You're driving there. And remember, they drive on the other side of the road. And I'm on this kind of like double-decker bus, and it's swinging back and forth, and I start feeling nauseous. And look, if you've never been in a car that's driving on the other side of the road, it will make you feel sick at first because your brain's not sure what's going on. But I get to the airport, and yes, it's the John Lennon Airport, by the way. That's for real. Everything's about the Beatles there. Get on the plane. I'm on this flight. It's only an hour long. I am surrounded by toddlers and infants. Like, you see the videos online. You're like, well, it's going to be a luxurious flight. And you're going to be surrounded by beautiful people. And it'll be very relaxing. Oh, no. Oh, no. So many toddlers and infants. And they're screaming and yelling. It was a good time at 9 o'clock in the morning. So, took the flight. Our flight went to Paris. Get to Paris. I've never been to the airport before. You got to take the train into the city, which takes about 25 minutes or so. You get into the city, and I'm staying at, what's it called? Is it Gare du Nord? That's the gigantic, Gare du Nord, I apologize. That's the gigantic train station downtown Paris. So I get out there. My hotel is like a block from the train station. And I haven't been to Paris in a couple years, and I know I sound like a complete jerk when I make that comment. So, I go there, get into my hotel, And my hotel is really nice. And this is an old building. It really is. But it was really nice. And it came with a refrigerator, a stove, a microwave. I was not expecting that. That was a nice hotel. Then what's cool is they have a great subway system there. It was like $10 a day. You can ride as much as you want. And you know what I did? This was really cool. So remember, December 8th, I was in Melbourne, Florida. I was taking my photo and celebrating Jim Morrison's 80th birthday. Here's the trivia question. Where was he born? Where was he buried? Born in Melbourne, Florida. Buried, grave, there in Paris, France. So I checked in my hotel. I got my train subway ticket. I went straight to that site. And it's not that far from my hotel. It took like about 15, 20 minutes. That cemetery is the biggest damn cemetery I've ever seen in my life. It had street signs to tell you which way to go. And it's very famous. Like Orson Welles has been buried there and is. And I go up to Jim Morrison's grave and it's surrounded by people. And this is like a random weekday, like early afternoon. And there was this French couple. They put down their cell phone and they start playing Doors songs. And we're all sitting there. And I'm like, this is the weirdest thing ever, where I was in Melbourne, now I'm in Paris, and it's Jim Morrison. And I took my photo there. That was really cool. It really was. Then I get on the train and I go to that area. And this is why I wanted to go to Paris. When I saw John Wick 4 at Cinema World in Melbourne by myself on a Sunday morning, and he's running around Paris, that motivated me where I needed to go back to Paris, was because of Keanu Reeves and John Wick. And I went, if you saw this movie, there is that one part of Paris where at the end of the movie, he has to get up those stairs and get to the top to get to the duel. I went there. That place was packed. Those stairs, I'm like, I'm going to be like John Wick. I ran up halfway and got to the 3/4 mark. And my legs turned to jello. And I tried, and I'm like holding on the railing. Amazing to be in that area. I'll show you those photos. If you've not seen them, you just follow me on social media. You can see it. You go to the top, you can see all of Paris. It was incredible. One of the highlights of my trip to go see it. Right? It doesn't cost anything. You just go there. And I know it has a real name. No, it's the John Wick stairs. That's how I look at it. Went there. My mom texted me. She's like, look, you know what you need to do now. She's like, look, it's not going to be busy. Go do it. I said, yes, I will do it. So I took the train over to the Eiffel Tower, which I've been in before. And I like the idea that I've gone to the bathroom in the Eiffel Tower. I don't know why that is so fascinating in my brain. Every time you see it, you can't. My brain can't compute how incredible it is. It is phenomenal every single time. Every time you see it, you can't believe it is one of the great marvels in the whole world. You can't believe it. So there really is barely anyone there. It was not packed because it's so cold outside. So I go up. You go to the kind of like the second floor. That's the way to put it. And there's like there's the restaurant there, and it's like an amazing view. And my mom's like, no, you got to go to the top. I said, fine, I'll go to the top. You get in this elevator, and it's this little elevator with a bunch of people, and it's all glass. And you go up. That was, without a shadow of a doubt, one of the scariest things I've ever done in my life. It's one of those things, in the moment, you got to act all cool. You got to be tough. Like, I'm a man. And I'm kind of quiet. Like, yeah, I literally am holding on to the railing as hard as I can. And inside I am like screaming like a little schoolgirl. It was scary. You get to the top, you get out, and it's like you're in a room, kind of like if you ever been to the Arch in St. Louis. It's like you're enclosed, you see windows, but then you can go outside, you walk upstairs, and then you're outside, and it's gated off so you don't fall off. Wow. The wind was so hard, I thought I was going to fly away. I was outside for about 10 seconds. I was like, well, that's about it for me. I've seen enough. But I've been to the top. One of the scariest things I've ever done, I'd do it again. So I go there. Then I go back to the hotel. I pass out. I get up the next day, right? Here's where I go. Get up, take the train. This has been on the bucket list. I've been to Paris a couple times, never did it. I'm going to do it. I went to the most amazing burial site. I know there's a pattern here. I went to one grave site. I got to go to another. I went to that Napoleon where he is buried. It is the most amazing thing you will ever see. The ego on this guy. It's this gigantic church building, like Vatican big. You walk in, and on the side, you see his wife's Josephine. You see it right there. And you're like, wow, that is impressive. That was my first thought. This is impressive. Oh, no. Then you see where Napoleon is buried. And you're like, wait, is Joaquin Phoenix in there? No, that's just a movie. That was amazing. You can, again, the ego on that guy was incredible that he built that for himself. I know he's very short. Napoleon Complex, that's where that comes from. And again, it's so cold outside, there's barely anyone there. I bet if I went during the summer, it would be like, oh, 3-hour wait to go see it. No, I'm just walking around. There's me and about 3 other people in there. I'm just walking around, taking my photo with Napoleon. It was awesome, it really was. Get out there. So I leave there, get on the train, go back by Notre Dame. Yes, the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Yeah, that's what that's from. They had the horrible, what year was that? 2019, when they had the horrible fires there. I think that was the year it happened. And you can't go inside anymore, and they're doing all this construction on it. So I stop by there. Then I go towards downtown. I go to the Jewish quarter. I get some from my dad. He's going to like it. He hasn't seen it yet, but he's going to like it. Seeing all that stuff. And it was cool where you're in another country and they're doing all like the happy Hanukkah stuff and it's there and I'm talking to different people. And yes, by the way, I'm eating all the pastries and all the food there in France, which is incredible. And it's interesting where, so in England, they're big on Christmas. Just like in America, they are gung-ho. And they say Happy Christmas, by the way. Not Merry, Happy Christmas. Then you go to Paris and you're in France, I swear it's not that big. Like, they're celebrating Christmas, it's not like here. It's not like in England, where they're insane, where they love it so much. No, it's not. It's not that wild. So, go there. I'm looking at my notes here, all the different places I went. Then, Jewish quarters, bought some for my dad. Then, I know this is the nerd talk here, and we've been going about 28 minutes. I'm almost done, I promise. I'm walking around downtown, and I stumble across a 2-block stretch in Paris, France. I know, Emily in Paris on Netflix is not doing this. 2-week, like a 2-block stretch, all retro video game stores. It was like I found the Ark of the Covenant. For me as a video game nerd, this was incredible. So I went in every single store looking for stuff. And my thing is when I collect, I like stuff. Like when I was in Amsterdam, I bought a soccer game where all of it is in Dutch. Like all of it. And then in France, I bought 2 different games where it's all in French. I know. You could have gotten a shot glass. You could have gotten a t-shirt. No, I like to get video games from other countries. It was awesome. I love that. I really did. So I went there, then went back, got some dinner. And it's one of those things where I go to a French grocery store, and off muscle memory, they have, like every country in the world now has the self-checkout machine. Off muscle memory, it's in French, but click, 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 and then I'm done. You know what to do. Do you want a bag? Yes. Okay. You paying with credit card? Yes. Da-da-da-da-da. It's all in French. I knew what to do. That's what's so weird. You're so used to using one of those things. The self-checkout. Bing, 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 bing. Oh, okay. I got no problem. Then at night, my friend Lux, as I like to call her, I met her years ago in Paris, her and her friends. I met her randomly at this bar. I told her, hey, I'm going to be in Paris. Where are you working at? So she's working at this one bar in this really cool, you know, really awesome neighborhood, not far from the Louvre. So I go over there. I walk in. I said, hey, how's it going? It's one of the weirdest moments of my life. She goes, Mark Moses, and starts freaking out. It's like in a French accent, Mark Moses. And then she tells me, she tells all of her coworkers that I was going to show up tonight and that I'm famous back in America. Yeah, sure I am. Sure I'm famous. So they're playing PSG soccer matches going on. I think it was in Champions League qualifier. They're taking on some German team. And I'm there. Everyone's smoking. That's the other thing about the French. They didn't get the memo like the rest of the world. They smoke and they don't care. They're vaping and smoking. And we were drinking. We're having a good time. It's just one of those moments where, yeah, this is really happening. Then I start playing foosball against these guys. And I'm in a random bar in Paris. And one guy was drunk and his ass kicked. And he's yelling out Sacre le bleu, like however it's pronounced. And I thought that was funny. He meant it too. And then I start playing guys. And they're telling me about, oh, this is how you play in France. And I was like, oh, you know how to cheat then. These guys, I was so angry. Oh, man. These guys, like, I don't lose at foosball. I know my friends in Melbourne don't like playing me anymore because I humiliate people. These guys, we're playing. He's literally, I've never seen this before, okay? He's taking one of his hands and he's readjusting the players on the board while we're playing. And he says, oh, you're allowed to do that here. Oh, okay, sure you are. Then I score from my middle guy, and he goes, oh, well, that doesn't count. You can't do that. I go, all right. I don't know what's happening here, but I can't end up in jail after a while. So I was doing that. Then I go home. Then I get up, train back to London. As you could tell, I did not sleep for a couple days. It's a vacation. You're supposed to rest. You're supposed to relax. I ain't got time for that. So train back to London. It's Thursday. Or I think it's Thursday. And here's what I do. Go to the hotel. It was nice, too. I really liked it. I like this Hammersmith area. It's Shepherd's Bush and Hammersmith. Only Billy Mims, head basketball coach at Florida Tech, probably knows what I'm talking about. But I like that area. Check the hotel, the Star Hotel. I liked it. And I went to the Shepherd's Bush. It's called... It's like Westfield Mall. It's like Mall of America in Minneapolis. I go there, I hang out, and then I see that Chelsea FC, the women's team, is playing that night. So I take the train over to there. There's barely anyone there. It's 25, 30 degrees. I get my ticket. I go in. I watch the match. They tie 0-0. So I've seen Chelsea play three times now. Three times. I've never seen them win, and I've never seen them score a goal, the men's or women's team. I've seen the men's team play in Chelsea. I've seen the men's team play Arsenal in Orlando. And now I've seen the women's team every single time. The scores were 0-0, 4-0, 0-0. So maybe I should never be able to watch them ever again. Maybe that's what it is. But it was cool, dude. Got a new scarf. Went there, had a great time. And here's what's also awesome. It's so, remember, in European soccer, especially there in England, you can't drink in the stands. No, you can't do that. You have to drink in the concourse or anywhere else they're serving alcohol. You can't in the stands. It's too rowdy. No alcohol can be drank there. It's wild. And at the stadium, okay, where your section is, you literally, you scan your ticket. Then you go through like a gate, like you're at the subway. You go through a gate and then you're stuck. You're there in your section, your seats. You can't walk around the stadium after that. You're in till the match is over. So that went to sleep, got up the next day. Here's what I did. All right. I do this every time. I go to Notting Hill, which is a cool area, super rich. And that's where I see all my sports cars. Oh, they're so beautiful. They really are. Guys are driving like, you know, Mercedes-Benz, Porsche. I saw a Mustang 5.0, but it's a British version. That was really cool. The Mustang Club, if you're watching this, that's the one you need to check out. Yeah, that was really cool. And it's cool. They have all like the farmers markets and, you know, I'm like picking up different stuff for people. And I go there. I take it to Oxford Circus and Piccadilly Circus. I'm checking out all the shopping there. I go to Chinatown. I'm going to all these different areas. It was like really cool. I needed a day to just walk around and clear my head. That's what I did. Then the final day, it's very weird where I go to Buckingham Palace. I think the Queen lives there. She doesn't live there. She's not alive anymore. And it's the King of England now. It's God save the King, not the Queen. It's just bizarre. And you start thinking like, okay, why is Princess Diana not alive? That's what I start thinking. It's like, all right, I've been in England too long. I'm starting to think about these things, right? Went there, picked up some stuff, and I always do this. I picked up some gifts for people at Buckingham Palace. Yes, I did that. Don't worry, it's on the way, right? Then I got back to my hotel, got my bags, took the train to Heathrow, got on the flight. 9-hour flight. Why? I go to Atlanta. And yes, I'm completely sad I had to leave. Because I like this, where I don't have to work. I'm traveling to beautiful cities. I'm spending money. This is why I got to win the lottery after a while. So, here's what happened. This is how we're going to finish this up. As I'm recapping the whole trip. So, I get to Atlanta. I have a 2-hour window to then get on the flight back to Orlando. That's how I planned it out. We land, and then we taxi for an hour trying to find a gate to get to. I'm like, well, this isn't good. I finally get off the plane, and then you got to go through customs. The guy working at the airport goes, hey, I just want to give a heads up to everyone. The next room is where you go through customs. We got 1,000 people ahead of you who are trying to get through customs. So I'm like, well, this isn't good. So it took 30 minutes or so, 45 minutes to get through customs. And then I couldn't get to my next flight. So I'm stuck in Atlanta. Luckily, they got me a flight for Sunday. So I had to get a hotel because they're not going to help me. There's too many people. So I get a hotel by the airport in Atlanta. And as you know, in this great country of ours, United States of America, it doesn't matter where you are. If you're staying by a hotel by the airport, it's going to be a shady area. So I stayed at the Super 8. I got there at about 11 o'clock at night. I was so tired with jet lag. 11 o'clock at night, I'm at the Super 8. I think I'm going to get killed at any moment. There's a Waffle House. Even the Waffle House is closed. Why? Those don't close. In the morning, I'm in London, England. And I'm having breakfast, and it's beautiful and elegant. And there's amazing women walking around. And I'm at the Super 8 by the Atlanta airport by a Waffle House that's closed that same night. Get up the next day. Get on the plane. And yes, the Atlanta airport is insane. Get on the plane. I'm flying home. It's only an hour flight. There's television. I see my Bears try for a Hail Mary against Cleveland. And they drop it in the end zone. That was good. Then I got off the plane. Then I drove back to Melbourne. That is my European vacation, winter-wise. Now, am I going to be sick for the rest of the week? Yeah, probably. I am. Was it worth it? Again, yes, it was. It was worth every minute. This is my advice. Our lives cannot just be get up, go to work, go home, watch Netflix and chill. Like that can't be it after a while. There's got to be more to this. There has to be. I like getting away. I like leaving my life, my universe. And I like this idea. Show me something I haven't seen before. Put me in a situation where I got to think, how am I going to get out of this situation? I like this. I like running around. I like going places I've never been before. I know I'm not unique when I say this comment, but I loved it. And what's funny, my coworker, Sheila, she goes, where are you going next? It's a great question. Let's go to break. We'll come back. Luke Easterling's going to join us top of the hour. We're going to talk some NFL. Should we break down the movies for Day and Dumb? Yeah, we might have to do that next. I watched a lot on the plane.